time, I welcome myself back. Yeah?
Go for it, Dennis.
Okay, cool. So where I was up to is this. The methodology of making ormus is really simple. You start with sea salt and or ocean water. Now, living where I do, and anyone who lives coastally, the ideal substance, from my point of view, is fresh ocean water. Now Barry Carter taught when he was down here, which Dr. Jen taught me, is to boil the water to make sure that it doesn't have any pathogenic stuff in it, any nasties. And so, fortunately, where I live, for all my testing, I've never needed to do so. And if you're particularly confident about the purity of your ocean water, then you won't need to do that either. But it's a good rule of thumb for purity of your water to do so. And then once you've got, and what I do is I drive down at about 2 o'clock in the morning, which is part of the metaphysical aspect of ormus making, and I get my ocean water when the full moon is waxing. That means it's coming on, and waning is coming off. And so I get the full moon, and I tend to intend what the qualities of my ormus are, and I intend them in conjunction with the quality of the full moon. And this or so ago was a very remarkable eclipse, and the eclipse was right overhead here in lovely Queensland, and it was at 4 degrees in Pisces and Virgo, because a full moon by definition is the sun opposed to the moon from our point of view, and we saw the shadow of the earth pass over the moon in a way that was complete.
Was the moon in Pisces and Vertigo?
Yeah, it was Pisces and Virgo.
Oh, I thought you said Pisces and Vertigo.
No. There was no vertigo.
Oh, God.
And so one of the things that I do is I like to capture the energy of the ormus and do my intention of ormus in relation to the flavor of the moon. Now, once I've got my ormus, my starting water back, and I usually collect it in 30-liter containers in Americanese. That's about 8-gallon containers. And I set up my laboratory in my home space, right in my lounge. And what I've done is I've created a spot of power that I can use for making my ormus, which I'll go into how to create a power spot in your home a bit later in the call. But that's a significant empowerer, you might say, of your final ormus. And so, sorry, what was that? Interference. Okay, so once I've got my spot lined up of where I'm going to make my ormus in my home, for me it's the same place every time, then I have a choice. One is I either make it straight away on the full moon, while the full moon is like at full, or secondly, another powerful time is about 6 days later, on the last day of that waning moon's quarter. And so for my dousing, there hasn't seemed to be too much difference, but both are strong times. So if you can't make it immediately, 6 days later is when to make it. And sometimes I will make two batches, one on the full moon, another 6 days later, and combine them together to get the benefit of both. Now, to the technicals. What you will want to have is a methodology for measuring the pH of your water. And that is best done with a reasonably good pH meter. And in fact, I don't even have a particularly good one at the moment because it tends to be variable in its results. So the way you make sure that you absolutely are on track with the pH is to, I sort of cheat a little bit, because you can buy what's known as pH calibration fluid. And the pH calibration fluid will allow you to get your meter tuned up, you might say, so that you know that when you set your meter to with pH calibration fluids, you know that your meter is accurate. Now, if your meter doesn't stay accurate for long, and I've got one like that at the moment, I have this backup plan. What I did was, once I got the meter accurate, then I added a little bit of, a tiny couple of drops of lye liquid to my testing sample and brought the pH up to 10.7. And that's the highest you want to go in pH when you're doing your precipitation of ormus. You don't want to take it over 10.7 because after that, it produces what's known in the trade as Gilchrist precipitate or precipitate of heavy metals. And you just don't want that because heavy metals are toxic in our bodies. So what I do is even with a variable meter, I found a way of cheating given that I'll create some test liquid at 10.7. So just as long as, even if I've got a variable meter and my meter is reading 10.9, when I put it in the calibration fluid that I know is 10.7, then I can take my precipitation up to 10.9 and I know it's equivalent. So that sounds a little bit complicated. It is. It just took me a little while to figure it out. That you just calibrate some liquid to exactly the pH that you want, and then you match it. It's a sort of a fail-safe device. It's best to have a good meter.
How fast do you drip it in?
Okay, thanks, Barry. What I do is I to do the precipitation, I have two syringes, and what I syringes without needles. And I have a tray of my sodium hydroxide liquid, which I'll get to the preparation of that in a moment. And I just suck up the liquid with these syringes and then go drop, 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 drop. Now, what I usually love to do is when I first got my big container of ormus and I'm starting the precipitation process, is I wave my hand over the surface of the water as I'm dropping, so each one of those drops forms a bubble of precipitate, like it just forms a little, a mini cloudette, like a drop's worth of cloud, and sinks to the bottom, and it's just fascinating for me to just watch each one of these droplets of precipitate just fall and slowly fall to the bottom. It's kind of like a little bit of artwork that I entertain myself with while I'm making it.
Do you stir it before you drop it in, or do you just drop them in randomly as you move your hand around?
Yeah, I'm dropping it in randomly as I move my hand around, just for the artwork effect.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm not stirring at this point, I'm just watching all these drops just falling, you know, just creating this three-dimensional sort of picture of these drops that just slowly form to the bottom. It's quite fun. And then after I've entertained myself with that for a few moments, then I start stirring it, and I use either a stainless steel egg flip or some ceramic chopsticks, because you don't want to have anything zinc or aluminium, you don't want to have anything galvanized or anything that's aluminium, because those metals will be interacted with by sodium hydroxide quite quickly, so you don't use that. Now, as a container for your almost salt water, or ocean water, you want, preferably if you can get it, a food-grade plastic, one that doesn't leach any chemicals. So here we are. I've got my 8-gallon, 30-liter bucket of water, and what I've done is I've done a whole bunch of preparation before I start, and the preparation includes making the sodium hydroxide liquid. Now, to do that, you've got to get lye crystals or sodium hydroxide crystals that don't have anything else in them. And our favorite in Australia is called Red Devil. I think that's a US brand.
That's US.
Yeah, yeah. It's the way our favorite in Australia is Diggers Lye. And it's made by a Diggers company in West Australia. And so as a ratio, I use one dessert spoon for every 125 mils of liquid. And so I just, as a general rule, I've got this 125-mil little jar, and as many 125-mil jars as I put into whatever size container I want to use for mixing this, I use one dessert spoonful of these lye crystals. Now, It's important. It's really, really important. Really, really, really important to wear protective glasses when you're doing this, because one splash with sodium hydroxide liquid in your eyes is pretty fatal to your eyesight. So make sure you get protection in that way. And also I wear gloves, because sodium hydroxide liquid will burn you. But it won't. You won't necessarily notice it like you notice an acid on your skin. And so you want to wear gloves while you're doing that. So now,
your skin. And one thing you want to be particularly careful, you also want to wear an apron. I accidentally spilled some on my pants. I just knocked the bottle over. And I was leaning forward, so my pants were leaning forward, but they weren't touching my legs. And I was in front of a bunch of people, but I took my pants off because, I didn't want to move anywhere and get that lie on my skin. I took my pants off and then ran in and washed my legs off. So you
that must
definitely
be a fun
want
look.
To have an apron or something on if you're going to do this.
Yeah. So now we're almost approaching setup here. So now what I usually do is I have a couple of big plastic trays, like you serve tea and coffee on. And I have that. I usually do my preparation of almost right beside my coffee table. And so I cover everything, including the floor and the table, in newspaper. So just in case if there is a spill, it's protected against. And then I have these trays that I have all these chemicals on, because these are strong chemicals and you want to be careful with them. And they're not to be feared, they are to be respected. And once I've got all those in place and I've got my pH meter calibrated with the pH calibration fluids, and I have my ormus in water in the right place, and I've got sodium hydroxide liquid all made up. Now, let me just say this. Sodium hydroxide is hydrophilic. In other words, it loves water. So don't go putting water into your sodium hydroxide. It gets unstable. Put sodium hydroxide crystals into the water. That way the sodium hydroxide crystals are not competing for the water, because it can be tricky if you do it the other way around.
And if you're in a humid area, you want to make sure that you store the sodium hydroxide crystals in a container that won't let moisture in, because they will absorb moisture from the air. In fact, there's a method for making ormus by absorbing moisture from the air using sodium hydroxide. And it works best, of course, near the ocean where there's lots of moisture in the air. But you want to make sure that you keep the moisture out, because it'll absorb, the crystals absorb, and they'll all stick together, and you can't get them out then. You can't pour them into your water then.
That's
so
right.
Keep them as dry as you can.
And keep a respectful distance from the sodium hydroxide when you've just put it into the water, because firstly, it will heat up. So don't be surprised when it heats up. And secondly, it'll produce a fairly pungent odor, and you do not want that in your lungs. So now you let the sodium hydroxide liquid cool down, and now you're ready to go. I put mine in one of those plastic food containers that you usually get takeaway food in, and now I've got my syringes, and I've got my big bucket of ocean water. And I'm ready to go. Now, here comes the metaphysical part. And that is ormus and anything that is based on water is responsive to intention. And as Emoto Dr. Emoto from Japan demonstrated and I first saw this in a movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, that Emoto associated this triple purified water with one word, and then as he froze the crystals and let them sort of remelt, they generated these crystalline shapes, kind of like there's an old story that no two snowflakes are the same. Well, it's just like that. Each time you put water with a different word, it will generate a different kind of shape. Which is why he illustrated that water has memory. Now, this is the foundational understanding of homeopathy, that you might put strychnine into water in such a minute quantity that you can't find any of that strychnine ever, ever, ever. But it's that water that is then called a homeopathic remedy will alleviate conditions that are like being poisoned with strychnine. And there's a wonderful book called The Field by Lynn McTaggart, where she covers all of the scientific validation for a number of sciences that effectively border on the metaphysical and transformational that have been proven. The basis of homeopathy and that water has memory is one of the subjects that she goes into in that particular book. It's a good read. So now we're getting to the point where you're going to start telling the Ormus what its qualities are. And you're going to influence your Ormus so it is not just precipitate of the ocean minerals that Ormus tends to hide inside, but now you're telling your Ormus who it is and what it's going to do. And so I make statements to it. But I'll come back to that in a moment. The first thing I want to talk to you about is setting up a power space for making your Ormus. And some of you, this will be more possible than others. Sorry, what did you say? No, it's probably outside interference. The way I do this is I actually use power plates that are made by the guys called Tesla Technologies. And you better access them if you write this down at www.teslas.us. That's www.teslas.us, TESLAS.us. And so I have some of their power plates that I make a three-sided base, and of course the apex that makes it a four-pointed pyramid, and I make my Ormus in the power spot of that pyramid. Now, because I've got a two-story home, I have the base of the pyramid in a few different rooms downstairs, all equidistant, and the apex of my pyramid on the ceiling of my second floor. So the power pointer of making the Ormus is right on the floor of the second floor. So that's like the equivalent of the King's Chamber of the or it's the power part of the pyramid structure, and it creates a strong energetic field. And it's worth doing that. It just seems to add significantly to its power.
One of the people that I've worked with says that he uses water that's been kept in pyramids for plants, and they get similar results to the Ormus treated plants with the pyramid water treated plants.
Good strategy. What a great strategy.
And
yeah,
that's a placebo effect.
Yeah, well, who cares if whether we call it a placebo effect or not? If it gets the result that we want, I don't care what they call it. Because, you know,
call it a placebo effect. Because, you know, it's real hard to convince a plant to do something, you know.
You are under my influence, Mr. Plant. You will grow faster and bigger and fatter and produce bigger and better fruits because I say so. Well, that placebo effect is pretty fascinating because it really is the power of thought. So now we are...
Dennis, I have a question about your pyramid. If you have the apex of the ceiling of your second floor, is it like you don't have the lines going down to the base? Is it like an imaginary kind of thing? Or an extension, an imaginary extension going down from the apex to the base then?
Okay, think of it like this. You can consider languaging it as imaginary.
Right.
Because I have the power plate stuck with some blue tack on the ceiling of my second floor, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I've got it so that it's exactly the same distance. It's as an equilateral triangle on the base, and it's exactly the same distance from one plate to another on the base as it is from each plate in each corner to the apex. In other words, it's an equilateral triangle. It's an equilateral triangular, what's that called, a tetrahedron? Yeah. And so you don't have to see the lines. It creates an energetic structure. Now, I have to warn you about this particular structure in that one time that I had it set up and I had to run out the door. This was when I first did this a few years ago to do something else with. And I ran out the door and I left this, what I call power pyramid, in place for a day or so because I'd forgotten that I'd created it. And that day, all nine of my goldfish died. Now, is that imaginary? Well, it wasn't for the goldfish.
No. That's the placebo effect.
So, for some reason, this creates a fairly strong field. But I've never been able to notice it. It was fatal from a goldfish. A couple of years ago, I used to use this kind of pyramid effect just for creating, empowering my intentions. And remember, I was selling a property, I had a rental property down here in Sydney, and I thought the market had reached its peak when I read that only 50% of properties that were going for auction were selling. So I'm going, it's time for me to bail out. Because this particular boom has reached its peak. This is about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And so I set up the power pyramid and I made my intention that this property will sell at auction. And I'm doing this on the morning of the auction, about 2 hours before the auction. And then I got a call and had to run out and I left the power pyramid up. And for some reason, leaving it up, it seemed to counteract the effect. And the result that I got was the property didn't sell. And I went, bother, bugger, damn. So after a few days, I set it up again, and I created the intention. It's going to sell for the price that I want, and it's going to be easy and simple and graceful. And that afternoon, and then I made sure I took the power pyramid down. And that afternoon, I had the agent call and said, someone just walked in here, and he saw the property and said, I want to buy that property, and here's my deposit. I'm leaving for Hong Kong tomorrow. Can you get the paperwork faxed to me and all the rest of it? And it was done. So Do I believe in these power pyramids? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And so much so I've created one in my shower, so I've got a quartz crystal hanging over my head and three other quartz rose crystals. They're all rose crystals in three different places around the shower so that it creates a sort of a pyramid. So when I do my shower power exercise, it's even more empowered. So now we're getting into what do I tell my Ormus? Well, I'll get into that in a moment, but firstly, what I do is there's this amazing piece of music that Deb of Maine, as I called her, her name is Deb Burton, and she's quite a remarkable kinesiologist who's an almost oracle level kinesiologist, and she was working with Jesse in Santa Fe, and they were doing all manner of testing as to what empowered Ormus the most. And they discovered through a whole bunch of investigation and dowsing using kinesiology, which is just dowsing on the body, dowsing on a muscle for a yes or no response, they found this one piece of music which was the most ideal music for making and empowering Ormus. And that is called Nuper Roserum Flores. And it encapsulated the sacred geometry that this cathedral in Florence was built with, and somehow encapsulated the dynamic mathematical structure in its tonalities, in its choirs, and its piece of music itself. And it's a very sweet piece of music, and I just have it on my iPod. Or you can have it on your computer. You can download it as an MP3 file. In fact, what I do is when someone wants to have my Ormus tutorials, which cover more than what I've even covered now, because I might have left out some detail probably, I include with those tutorials a tutorial on how to douse, so you know what kind of product, how strong your product is. And I also include this piece of music. So if you want all that, send Barry Carter $20 with using PayPal, and his email address, which is the email address is on every email that he sends to the group, and just use his email address and send him $20 and specify this is for the Ormus tutorials, and I'll send you the Ormus making and the Ormus intending and all of the Ormus hints and the dowsing tutorial using a pendulum and this ideal music for making Ormus too. So that's the next stage. I have my music set up, and I also use Gregorian chanting. I have two lots of kind of music. I have some Gregorian chanting tracks and this Nuper Roserum Flores on automatic replay. So as soon as it gets to the end of it, it starts at the beginning again and just loops. And so now I've got the ideal music. I've got the ideal environment to set it up in with the power pyramids. And I also speak my intentions into the Ormus. And because liquid will remember what you say, I have this kind of like wry joke that if you have an argument with someone, throw away the coffee that you're drinking and get another cup of coffee, because otherwise you're going to drink the argument, because that coffee will contain the memory of that argument as well. So just get rid of that coffee and get some fresh coffee that hasn't been tainted by that vibration that you probably didn't enjoy, because liquid will hold whatever vibrations you put into it. And so what do I say to my Ormus? I say things like, let's say, you know, on this latest Pisces Virgo full moon, and Pisces is all about expansion and spirituality and uplift and imagination and fantasy and possibilities, and Virgo, being its opposition, because full moons are always opposing signs, And Virgo is about health and wellness and well-being and order and structure. And so therefore, I will tend to shape my intentions according to that full moon. And so some of my intentions will be, this Ormus provides the greatest and sweetest spiritual uplift for anyone who has it. And I'm saying this while I'm dropping in the sodium hydroxide liquid, and I say it while I'm actually doing the dropping, and then I'll stir. We've got to the part where I'm now stirring the water. I'm past watching just the droplets of Ormus sink to the bottom, and now I'm stirring it. And I stir it clockwise, and I do the precipitation. I move my hands over the water anti-clockwise, so there's kind of like it's double the effect of the stirring. And then I fill up the syringes, and I do my second round, which might be something like, this Ormus gives people great grounding and clarity. And then I might just fill up the syringes again and give it a bit of a stir and go, this Ormus gives great upliftment and sweetness to all the people who take it. And so I keep making intentions. Now, here's the thing that I've discovered, that Ormus will respond to what you believe is possible. And if you don't believe that any of these things that I've just told you right now are possible, well, you won't be able to pull it off. But if you just adopt the point of view that this is completely possible, then that's what will manifest in your Ormus. And it just takes a little bit of practice, and the more you practice, the more confident you're going to get about the internal state that you occupy when you're saying these things.
Plus, when you take the Ormus, you're setting up the Ormus resonance in yourself to resonate with the Ormus that you make.
That is a very, very important point. Thank you. What you will do is you will set up an ascending loop, like an ascending cone. Just imagine that you're circulating at the base, and then as you spiral up in skill, you will spiral up as a result of making this Ormus, and then taking it, and then that will spiral you up to the level of consciousness that you occupy. And you take that stuff, and it spirals you up again. And you take that stuff, and it spirals you up again. Now, here's the thing, that your home will also be strongly affected by making Ormus in it. And I was just telling this to Kate, who's a cousin of Dr. Jen, about this effect. That what will happen is that you'll notice that people just come around and they'll be so at home in your place, because Ormus creates just such a good vibe, they'll be so at home at your place, they won't want to leave. And you might have to point out to them, it's now 4 o'clock in the morning, it's time for you to go. And Kate said, well, that's funny, you know, because when I get tired, I just go to bed. But my friend, when he has his friends over, he's complaining to me now that for some reason, in the last couple of months, since she started making Ormus, his friends come around, they don't want to leave. They want to crash right on the couch. They don't even want to go home. Ormus will make you.
What I say, Dennis, is I think I'm going to go to bed so you guys can leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that too. I tell her, okay, your past you used by Daisy now. And it's a phenomenon that I've gotten used to now. I thought it was a bit random when it first started happening, but now it happens pretty much every time. so I'm used to it. The other thing is that is if you learn to douse using a pendulum, this will be a skill that you have for life, that you can ask all manner of things about all manner of things and test on with they're accurate once you've got a high enough level of certainty in as a dowser using a pendulum. And what will happen very quickly will, so I'm just having to move rooms for a moment. What will happen very quickly is that you'll start noticing that it's possible to douse on your level of consciousness again and again, depending on what you're doing, depending on what circumstance. Like, let's give an example. There's this wonderful book called Power Versus Force. Now, Power Versus Force has a map of consciousness in it that basically is an adaptation of the Ron Hubbard's emotional tone scale that he developed about 30 or 40 years ago. And L. Ron Hubbard was the founder of Scientology, the Church of Scientology. He called the church just for taxation reasons. But it's a collection of empowerment technology that he developed. And they used to use this sensitized lie detector machine for being able to determine what was right and what was wrong. It was a method of, it was like dowsing. And he was able to determine which emotions were higher or lower than the other emotions. And he had an emotional tone scale. Well, David Hawkins, who wrote Power Versus Force, is one of the people who took that scale and added some things to it and sort of made it his own. And on that scale, there's a numerical value that equates to a whole bunch of different emotional states of being, how you see God, how you see your own life, and how you operate in the world. And this is a very powerful and useful scale to use as a guide for where you're at. Now, I will warn you that Ormus is completely anomalous. And when you're using the scale, you may have an opportunity to get confused. Because how could it be so that if the scale goes from 0 to 1,000, and 1,000 is postulated as the place of the Jesus and the Buddha and the Krishna and the ascended beings lived, and they lived in this expanded space of 1,000, but most of us mere mortals hang around, 200 or 300, and then how is it possible, and I've seen this a lot, that when people start taking Ormus, they douse themselves as having scale. Right, they're having a reading way off this over the top of this 1,000 scale. Ormus does that regularly. In fact, the very first Ormus that I made doused at 15,000 on this supposedly 1 to 1,000 scale, and that was my weakest Ormus I've ever made. So if you're going to start dousing on levels of consciousness, you have to know that Ormus is completely freakish. It is completely a standalone something, and it will jump you.
Others have also doused that. People, I went to and did a presentation in Belgium, and there were a couple of guys that were using dowsing to develop their magnetic traps, to improve their magnetic traps, and they said that their dowsing numbers were way off scale on the power versus force scale. They were just, in the tens of thousands or the hundreds of thousands, even in the millions sometimes. And they couldn't figure it out, but they independently arrived at that. So I presume there's some accuracy to it. I've got the numbers for the winners for the raffle.
Oh, fabulous! Some other kinds of numbers.
How many raffles are there?
How
many?
How many prizes?
Yeah.
Well, this week is there's the trap from Thomas Geckler of Cherokee Gold. Thank you, Thomas. And I'm including a bottle of Ormus for me. So there'll be two winners today.
Okay. Well, I have the winners and the... Now, which is the first winner?
Well,
which is
that'd be Thomas's trap, wouldn't it?
Okay. And Thomas is the winner for Thomas's trap is Jeff Marrero.
Is Jeff Marrero lucky enough to be on the line?
Everybody's muted.
Okay, now if Jeff Marrero is on the line, hit *7 and volunteer that you're here. But I don't hear anyone volunteering called Jeff.
And
okay, let's go to the person who's gonna get almost from Denisimo.
That one is Tom Waters.
Tom Waters. Fantastic. Tom, if you're on the call, hit *7 and tell us you're here. I can hear someone talking in the background. Was that you, Tom?
Barely hear you. That's much better.
Speak extra loud, please.
Very good.
Fantastic, Tom. Whereabouts are you? Cool. Fabulous. All right, so you'll be getting my Currumbin Pacific Ocean water-based, what I call ocean mana.
Orange, you're glad you won.
You already have a trap anyway. You already own a trap.
Fantastic. Now, what I've noticed is that when you get some momentum in the Ormus field, it tends to create other momentum, which attracts more different kinds of Ormus and upliftment. And so it would spiral that I was talking about, that you take Ormus and then you make some, and it's better than the last lot you made. You make it, you take it, you make it, you take it, you make it, you take it as an upward spiral. And when I first started making Ormus around about 2 years ago, or 18 months ago, somewhere in that area, it doused at a relatively low 15,000 on this power versus force scale. But I didn't realize that was low. It's like, wow, that's phenomenal. But my next batch was like double that. And then my next batch was like 50,000. And these days, I figure if I had a batch that was below multiples of that, then that's a bad batch, that I wasn't paying attention. And I'll tell you a couple of things I've discovered that will lower the LOC, or the level of consciousness, of the Ormus that you make. And one of them is having people around who are not in tune with what you're doing. And I used to make Ormus out in my balcony, and I remember a couple of times I had people come over who were curious as to what I was doing, but you know, they were actually genuinely curious, but they lowered the LOC, they lowered the vibe of my end product, because the Ormus in its birth stages was being held down in its vibration, in its frequency, in its LOC, level of consciousness, by these people. And I had no idea I was able to measure it with my dowsing. Another thing that I do is I usually make my Ormus when most people are asleep. Because when all the neighbors are asleep, I don't get their psychic energy either. I have a nice, crystal clear space that when I say things and intend things, my Ormus snaps right to attention and is only influenced by that. And another thing that I do, this is just because I can, is I have a lovely, gorgeous, big crystal bowl that's like a crystal version of those I bet you guys have seen some of those flat bottom singing bowls. Well, this is an egg bottom singing bowl. It's called a carillon. it was that is a duplicate, is duplicated from the original carillon that was found in an archaeological dig in Iraq, in Babylon, from the Babylon days, and they found a way to recreate it with fused crystal. And I have this thing, and while I'm doing my precipitation and making my statements of intention, I often play my carillon with my right hand and use the hold both syringes in my left hand. And so I really crank my Ormus in terms of now it's in the power pyramid, it's getting the right music, it's getting the vibration of this crystal bowl, it's getting my intentions. I have kyanite crystals around my precipitation bucket. What else? What else do I bring to the party? I think that's probably about it, but it could be more. Sometimes I forget all the different things that I do. But in the end, the who you are is as important as to what you do. And the who you are will change the more you make Ormus. The who you are become more powerful. Your ability to intend things and have them manifest will be increased by making and taking Ormus. And so therefore, what will happen is your intentions will get more empowered too. So some of the things I say are a bit outrageous, really. Like, this is the most powerful Ormus that I have ever made. In fact, this is the most powerful Ormus that's ever been made. And look, after a while, it just starts to manifest. Because Ormus will do anything you tell it. So here's an example of some really outrageous extensions of this logic. This Ormus is so powerful. This Ormus is so expansive that it affects everyone who even hears about it. This Ormus is so wonderful, it's so uplifting, that the whole of my neighborhood is uplifted by it. This Ormus is so radiant and so fantastic that it has an uplifting effect for the whole of humanity. Look, let me ask you, what limitations are you going to put on your Ormus? What limitations are you going to put on yourself? Because it ends up being the same. If you, the more that you do this, the more you'll feel inclined to do some more. And Ormus gives you that ability to just expand into these more influential roles. Ormus is very creative. And Ormus will increase your ability to manifest stuff. Now, I did a call called Ormus and Manifestation around about 6 months ago. And one of the things that I was talking about was, it might have been on a call with Michael Burberry. So at that point, that we were right in the middle of the drought. And I said to Michael on the call, the dams in Sydney are going to be full because they were down to like the last 15% of the water for the whole Sydney area. And since I've been here, it's just rain, 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 rain. Now, I could adopt a point of view, that, which I don't, that I couldn't possibly have any influence on the weather. But in our culture, it's considered completely normal to accept that somehow the American Indians and the native people can't. What's that? How do you think like that? Why is it that indigenous people, with their rain dances, can have an effect on the weather and we can't? Well, I tell you what has an effect on the weather. Just speaking the weather into existence. And you can say, this is the way the weather's going to be. And I've found that it helps to say it out loud to someone and just remark it as a weather report. And quite a lot of people go, well, how do you know that? And I heard it. I have it on good authority. The authority being myself. And what happens is, if your ability to intend has got any juice at all, that's what will happen. That's what will manifest. So practice manifesting. Like, you hang around with me, you will never find me looking for a car park, or sometimes for up to half a minute, because there's always a car park for me. And one of the things you can do is measure your level of intentional creation by noticing how many times there isn't a car park for me. For me, if there isn't a car park for me, I'm really out of whack. I need to do some exercise to get my LOC back up, my ability to intend things and have them just manifest. And Ormus will do that quick time, quick smart, toot sweet,
can you take
right away,
pronto.
Yeah.
Anybody who's muted, you can unmute or I can unmute you. I think I may just go through and unmute everybody.
Yeah, unmute the lot. Let's take some questions.
And
I have a question.
Which is?
My question is, you take your precipitate up to 10.78. I've read people who only take it to 9.5 in order to reduce the amount of magnesium. And then I've also seen people who take it up to 10.78 and then add acid and bring it down and dissolve it and then take it up to 9.5. I was just wondering what you think about just making it to 9.5 rather than 10.78 and what we might be missing.
Well, I've done that. And the reason why I did that for quite a few initial batches was I didn't have a pH meter. I was using pH papers, and I didn't have enough trust and experience, so I gave myself a wide margin, and so it turns out that most of the ormus that I made in those days was below 10 in pH, but it worked just fine. It wasn't quite as potent as these days.
Well, Michael Burberry, on his he talked about taking his 10.78 and then dissolving it with acid and then bringing it up to 9.5 and then cooking it and all that. And I'm just wondering if all that's necessary.
I've never done it. I've never found it necessary. Michael Burberry is a fascinating and very accomplished alchemist, and so he's explored a lot of that stuff. Whereas I'm a simple guy. I just make it, and my whole focus is on the metaphysical, intentional aspects of my ormus, rather than the physical, chemical focus that Michael definitely has. Though I'm not saying that Michael isn't a metaphysical guy as well. He is. But that his main focus is on stuff that he does chemically, because he is a degreed biochemist.
Well, I agree absolutely. I think the Ormus wants to come out and play, and all you have to do is invite it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice way of describing it. Any other questions? Now, you have to please speak up because you sound like you...
How do you spell Nuperum or Verum or whatever that music was?
N-U-P-E-R, Nuper, Rosarum, R-O-S, Rosarum, R-O-S-A-R-U-M, Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S.
F-L-O-R-E-S.
Rosarum Flores.
F-L-O-R-E-S.
Yeah. And that music was written for the opening of the cathedral in Florence. The famous cathedral in Florence, which actually I have climbed the inside of the gap between the ceiling and the roof. There's about 400 or 500 steps up to that, to the view over the whole of Florence. And it's that cathedral with a big dome. In fact, the designing of that dome was breakthrough architecture at the time. And so it was a significant piece of physical artwork. And they had this lovely music that they played for the opening of that cathedral. And it's the ideal music to make Ormus to. Next question. Oh, is that all you wanted to ask?
Yes.
Cool. Now, I've done quite a bit of roving today, so ask me some questions. Come on.
As you're stirring, I understand that you stir in order so that the drops don't hit in the same place at the same time and raise a specific area up into a higher pH range.
Okay. Well, I'm careful to not put very much sodium hydroxide liquid into the same bit of water that raises the local pH. So I just keep stirring it and just drops at a time, but my drop's going quickly. It's like, rather than just,
right.
It used to be when I first started, it was drop, but now it's not like a squirt, but they are individual drops, and I'm moving the syringes around the surface of the water, but it's like,
so it's as fast as you can go without it being a squirt. So there's drop. Yeah.
So when it hits the water, it's separated from the drop before it, because I'm moving my hands as I'm dropping the water with the syringes. Any other questions about any aspect of my hormus making? What's the time, Barry? My watch is broken.
20 after the hour.
It's been an hour and a half already. Wow, time flies.
I have another question. You mentioned a few of the people that have commented on the results. Could you describe some of the more of the results that people have had who have been taking it locally? Your stuff.
Okay. I've only shared my stuff with a relatively small amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them who is my gestalt therapist lady who I used to see quite a few years ago and went and had a couple of sessions with her. And I found out that Carol had somehow found out about and joined the White Gold List. Well, it might have been the result of me talking to her about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she asked me to have her, if I could bring her some of my hormus. And so we had some when I arrived at her session, and then afterwards we left. She was just having some, and about a teaspoon each time. And then she rings me that afternoon and said that she had this lady who came at the end of her day, and she doesn't usually extend her working time, but she's in such a buoyant state that when this lady came and had all these particular problems, emotional issues and so on, she said, "Here, have some of this," and she gave her some of the hormus too. And they raved until well past dinner time before this lady went, because they were both just so up and chirpy. Well, you know, that's what you'd call a result, because it was like instant. I noticed that when people, like I've got one guest at the moment who's staying with me, who's been through quite a lot of challenging stuff. And sometimes she'll come into my office in the morning, and if her conversation indicates to me that she is not in a very nice state, I just say, "Listen, why don't we just rock out to the kitchen and have some hummus right now?" And she goes, "Oh, great idea." And suddenly there's a state change immediately. And I said, "Well, look, you know, there's my hummus stash. Why don't you just help yourself to it?" And she goes, "Oh, I felt bad about raiding your hummus. So my last batch, I made double the amount just so my friend could have her own stash. So she didn't feel like she was raiding mine."
Hmm.
Yeah? Now, here's the thing. What I did with her was I invited her in to the making of the hummus. And I had her speak some intentions to the Ormus. So she was actually part of the process, because Ormus is very personal. It will personalize itself to your vibe. It will become a higher level of conscious extension of who you are. And then it will raise you up too.
Did you notice anything different from that for her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's become a lot sweeter and less anxious. She's been through a particularly hard period in her life and it settled her down significantly. It's almost is a real gift for people. It's the great uplifter. And it's just wonderful for people. So I recommend it. And so any other questions for anyone else who wants to know anything more? Because I feel like I've been raving quite a lot here.
Yeah,
hey, Dennis.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm it's Nick up in Vancouver Island. I am wondering exactly what, did you use a golden mean ratio for your pyramid and setting up your pyramid with the power plates?
Yeah, well, basically I just use a four-pointed tetrahedron, which is, you know, a four-pointed triangle, the 3 points of the triangle, and then the fourth point being the apex. And so it's an equidistant tetrahedron.
Okay.
And then I make the Ormus into the power spot of that, which is the equivalent of the King's Chamber. And if you just look up
the apex.
Say again.
Is that about a third of the way down from the apex?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It
is.
Two-thirds of the way up.
Yeah.
Depends on whether it's half full or half empty.
Yeah, right. So any other questions about any of the aspects of what I've talked about so far?
Yes, Dennis. Ormus, you can put your intention, anything you wish there. When you're buying other Ormus products, you know, there's a multitude of people selling these. How is that different then? Because their intention, even when they made the product, could have been good or bad. So how do you know what you're getting? Else's intention was put in the making of that Ormus that you're buying from them.
That's a very good point because you, in fact, Sharon used to write about that quite a lot, and she told me about that quite a few times, that she would know a lot about the person based on the quality of the Ormus that she got from them. And she would get their vibe in the Ormus. In fact, it was Thomas, didn't you tell me that that Sharon said, do you have a yellow rag beside where you make your Ormus? Didn't she say that?
She did indeed. She asked me if I had a yellow dish rag, and she thought the water was much too powerful to drink, so she soaked her feet in it and took a bath in it instead.
So clearly what that indicates is that who a person is and where they're at will come through their Ormus. And so I'm going to give you a way to significantly override the vibe of someone else's Ormus, if that's of value to you. Yeah?
Yeah.
And some people call it succussing it, and some people call it percussing it. But you just grab the bottle and stick it, you know, if you're right-handed, stick it in your right hand, and with your left hand, you percuss that bottle against your left hand. So you're effectively just going, I'm just going to try and make the noise. Can you hear my fist thumping against the palm of my hand?
Yeah.
Now, that's called percussing it. And what you can do is you can create an essence of someone's Ormus if it's got a high LOC, and you can douse for that, and you're going to capture that LOC, you can extend the vibe of that Ormus, or you can change the vibe of that Ormus by percussing the Ormus that they sent you. And what I usually do is I percuss it 49 times. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, etc. until you get to 49. And while I'm doing that, I'm making a one or two statements. Like, this is very powerful, almost for me. And so on. So this is a way of overriding some of their vibe and installing some of your own.
When I make my Ormus, I intend it to be perfect for whoever gets it.
Yeah. And what I'm getting is that some Ormus makers aren't so careful, based on Sharon's comments about some of the responses she's had. And Sharon has gone to the length, to the extent to say that some of the Ormus that she got, she could tell that it was made in a scruffy, disorganized space. Because the space where it was made was disorganized, she didn't want to take it.
Yeah, okay, I clean up my dishes now before I run the water.
Everything will affect your Ormus. I kid you not. You just got to know this. Every single thing you do, including the space you've got, even though no one can see it, someone who's psychically and attuned, as Sharon, will tell you what's in your living room when you made it. It's wild. It's wild. Your Ormus will absorb the lot. Any other questions?
Dennis, does your tutorials give you a very good step-by-step process of the crystals and the drops? Because I've never done this before, and it seems rather than you having to go into detail with me, I would probably just get the tutorials, and that will really step me through each portion of it when I've never done this in the past.
Has anyone received my tutorials that can talk about it?
Yeah, I just wasn't clear. You talked about using one dessert spoon of lye crystals to 125 mils of liquid. So then, how are, and you're dropping this, so I'm not sure what you're dropping into what, and what, if you start off with 125 in this plastic bowl and then drip in the lye, or, and if it's a...
My tutorials are phone today.
Okay, then. That's
and the reason I asked that question, because I thought there might be people on the call who have had my tutorials and could just, you know, give you an answer from their point of view, because everything is in there that I talk about and more.
It's very easy to do, and don't let the chemicals scare you off. As long as you're careful, it's safe.
I guess I'm worried about the heavy metal thing that he said. If your pH is below the 10.7, then you're not going to be concerned with a heavy metal issue, because we all know the toxicity of that, and that would worry anybody, I'm sure.
It's as easy and safe as making soap, and it's as easy as making bread.
Okay.
No one has ever precipitated heavy metals out of seawater either. It's just theoretical.
That someone went, Dennis, and who was that? It was a lady.
It was me, Arlene. Hi.
Hi, Arlene.
I was just wondering, have you ever used colored lights when you do your Ormus? Or, for instance, you said, what type of crystal you said you used when you're stirring. What crystals did you have?
I have some kyanite crystals taped to the outside of my Ormus making bucket.
Have you used any other crystals besides that? Like maybe made a batch of like with rose quartz or one with citrine or something?
No, I haven't.
You know, or lazurite or any of those?
No.
Because they do have different properties.
Yeah, of course they will, and I just haven't. Calcite
is good for clearing, so if you want to clear the stones that you're working with, or do you run them under water or soak them in salt water out in the sun, that can clear your crystals also.
I have heard some people say that trap water clears crystals.
Really? I by the way, Thomas, I love the trap water. I'm saving up that my next purchase is going to be one of your traps.
Cool.
And I was bummed when I heard you weren't selling them, and then I was like, yes, he's selling them again, yay.
Oh, well.
So I would have more money to spend, but how about we make an abundant Ormus batch so we can bring abundance for everybody? That would be
actually that I made a batch like that a couple of months ago, and that was particularly on the WESEC, that's the Scorpio Taurus full moon.
Right.
Because Taurus is astrologically is about havingness. And Scorpio is about transformation and renewal. And so that particular batch was hugely about abundance and quite a more extravagance in living and enjoyment. And so that was definitely the abundance batch.
Did you notice any changes in your life from that?
Well, actually, I've noticed a significant increase in my income since then.
Cool.
Which was most useful.
I bet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try to learn how to do that.
Well, you don't learn how to do it.
You just do it.
You intend it.
Right.
And you intend it with some certainty. Now, here's the thing. This is the last thing I'll rave on about, and that is, if you really want to get some idea, if you want to chart the waters of this thing, learn to douse and get some certainty in dousing. Now, and in my dousing tutorial, it's very step-by-step, but the thing that holds people back with Ormus and with dousing is certainty. Now, if you don't have certainty, you have doubt. And doubt is really death to go a high level of effectiveness when it comes to making Ormus and getting results with dousing. So what I was going to suggest is if you get my dousing tutorials, and a couple of people have mentioned that they went through the tutorials, but they couldn't seem to get it to fly. I would suggest that you get with someone who really knows how to douse and let their certainty rub off on you.
So it has to be dowsing, not doubting.
No, that's right. Yeah. Thou shalt not doubt.
Also, Dennis, when you douse, you talk about the hawk and scale, but like when I do dousing, I'll ask yes or no questions, right? Then
yeah.
I've done little things like if I've lost something in the house that I really need very quickly, sometimes I've created like a little floor plan of the house and I say, is it in this room? Is it in that room? Is it in this room? Is it in that room? How do you judge when it goes over your scale? Do you use
I'll give it to you right now.
Do you use like a protractor type of thing where, you know...
No, it's easy. Much easier than that. Much, much, much easier. Let me just tell you. Let me just say you want to douse your own level of consciousness with someone else's, yeah? And
right.
Once you've got yes and no
I
responses...
I tried mine already.
Once you've got yes or no, then you go, is my level of consciousness above 200 on the scale? Yes. Okay, is it above 400? Yes. Is it above 500? No. Is it about 450? No. Is it about 420? Yes. Is it about 430? Yes.
Okay,
is it about 440? Yes. Is it about 445? No. Is it at 441? No. At 442? Yes. That's how you use yes and no to determine anything on a scale.
Okay. You want to know what I did? I just took a protractor and made a 180-degree circle with the line down the center being 500. And I put my dowser in the middle, right where the 500 line is, and I ask where am I on this, you know, scale, and just let it go. And then from that, I, you know, judge if it's a quarter of that half of a semicircle, then that would be 500, and then 225, so it would be 725. And then, you know, you just, then I asked what you, I got my number closer to my number quicker that way.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Once you've got the ability to douse, you can inform yourself about all manner of things. And I really, 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 really believe that dousing and making ormus is a key to a high level of wizardry, especially if you do them over and over again. And there are some things that if you associate with these, if you associate your consciousness with these things, will jump your level of consciousness quickly. And one of them is that shower of power exercise. Just by those statements of intention, I went over with Sharon Rose as my guinea pig, as my subject, and she was she was making these statements of intention, and statements of intention like, I am loving, I'm beautiful, I'm kind, I'm expansive, I'm magnetic, I'm creative, I'm receptive, I'm inspiring, etc., down through the list, would jump to her consistently again and again every time we did it, to the point where she was sitting close to the 1,000 on that 1 to 1,000 scale, whereas when we started, she was like about 300 or 400. Anyone who takes almost never goes down very far. And the average level of consciousness of the average town in the U.S. In fact, just let me douse on that right now. The average level of consciousness, the average town in the U.S. is over 100. It's over 150. It's over 170. It's over 155.
We're doing good tonight.
It's over 151. It's over 152. Yeah. Now, you see, the average level of consciousness in the average town in the U.S. is 152, and that's bloody low. That's really low, and partly that's because there's been such a focus on terror and fear that it puts people into consciousness contraction. And if you want consciousness expansion, that may effectively makes you an evolutionary with an R in front of it.
Let's see how high yours is if George Bush was your president.
Well, George is in Sydney at the moment.
That's why it's raining.
He was at the Sydney Opera House, and he said to the whole assembled guy, you know, everyone assembled, he says, so welcome to OPEC. And he goes, what I mean is APEC. Because, you know, OPEC is the organization of oil industry.
Yeah.
And APEC is the Asia Pacific Development Forum.
Oops.
Well, turns out Georgie has got senile dementia, really, because if you see a video of him talking 10 years ago, he was sharp and clear then, and he's considerably dumbed down now. So partly he's less functional than optimal. Anyway, don't even let me get started on that subject.
Yeah, we're doing consciousness raising here, not consciousness lowering.
Yeah, we're not doing consciousness plummeting.
We have to send some ormus to President Bush.
Yeah, well, like that would get to him.
Well,
I bet he takes it. Many of the rich
would never
for
a
year.
Like that. So listen, let's just take another call, question or two, and then I've got to wind this up and scoot because I'm at a friend's place, and I'm on their phone. They probably want to use it by now. So any other questions before we hit the road?
I had a question. I remember Barry said something about taking a different supplement because of the high amount of sodium from the Ormus. What supplement was that?
Magnesium. Ormus has lots of magnesium, so you want to take calcium to balance it out.
Okay.
But most people get too much calcium and too little magnesium, so you may want to wait a few years before you do that.
Right. It's been a little over 2 years now, the various different Ormuses that I've tried.
And this is the seawater
precipitate. I like them all.
Yeah, and I would recommend on that subject that you make your own and you buy others that who appeal to you, that you'd want some of their vibration in your life. Like Thomas's, like Sigverta.
Yes.
Joe Lallo makes very nice products. He keeps himself in a very nice space metaphysically.
I've tried all of those now.
Yes. Arthur.
Yeah. No, I haven't had any Arthur's Ormus. I had quite a bit of John Hudson's Ormus, which I quite like.
Me too.
I just purchased that. Has anybody tried the Aqua Frequencies program that's out there? Because I really love that. It's Jason's, one of Jason's. It's called aquafrequencies.com. And you can get the program. And they have a 2-week free trial, but I purchased the program. I think it's changed my life.
That's fantastic.
There's over 255 different intents that you could work with.
Well, here's the thing. Aqua is extremely open to frequencies, and you can make and create and generate your own. And it doesn't have to be magical and mystical. It just has to be practical in your own lounge with your own intention, and every single time you do it, it will get better. And the key to making Ormus is start making it and start taking it and just do it again and again and learn along the way. And protect your eyes, protect your hands, have your safe equipment in place. Like Thomas said, don't be afraid of it. Just respect it. It's really easy and simple. Just takes a little bit of care and attention to detail. But most important, start making it. Start taking it and do it again and again and get better at it. And let me just finish with this. You will become a beacon of light in your community. Your level of consciousness, when you uplift your level of consciousness, it was going to have an effect on the whole community around you. Don't write this off. Do not doubt for a second of how powerful an influence you can be for good and for light. And for by making and taking Ormus, and especially if you keep your LOC high, and I use the shower of power exercise to do that, and I use my chi expansion exercise to do that, which is a whole other thing I haven't even made available to people yet, but one of these days I will. The combination of those three will turn you into a person of significant influence, and you can have an effect on the lives of people all around you, and they will never know. You will know. And they will be very, very lucky to have you in their town. So that's pretty much it for me.
Well, thank you, Dennis. Thank you so much for being the special guest on today's conference call.
Yay.
Finally, I get to be the guest. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's much easier being the host and asking questions.
Well, you did very good, Dennis.
And Barry was gracious enough and nice enough to ask me questions at the pivotal points. Keep me on track. Thanks for that, buddy.
And bad pun.
So I'm going to bail now.
You're going to bail, did you say?
Yeah.
I just feel so much gratitude towards all you Ormus makers. You don't know. It's really changed my life and created a lot of healing for me. So I thank you all from the bottom of my heart.
Well, start being one, darling.
Hmm?
Start being one.
The best Ormus is the Ormus you make for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to learn in October when Barry comes to New York.
It doesn't take that long.
It's okay. I'll wait till October.
I'm going to get a trap.
Cool.
I'm going to do that, too, eventually.
Send me the email of the gentleman who won the trap, and I'll be happy to send him his prize.
I just sent that.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, I've got to bail now. Thank you so much for being an opportunity for me to express what I've just completely fascinated about in my life at the moment, which is the consciousness as a thing that you can have a lot more of and experience a lot more joy as a result of having a lot more of that thing that we call consciousness.
Well, thank
you
very much.
Okay, good day, mate.
Thank you.
Good day, guys. Thank
you
for your time. See you
soon.
Bye now.
So long. Good night. Dead.